Trapped in this war of thinking and feeling, we take a peek into our untouched minds as we spiral into our daily dose of overthinking.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Overthinking with DLRK.
We're your hosts, Libby,
Danny,
Kevin,
and Reese. And in this episode, we will be embarking on a journey to explore love.
Ooh.
Take okay. It away, Kev.
Take it away, Kev.
So let's start with a pretty big off-topic suggested by Libby. What do you guys think? Should the boy make the first move?
It doesn't matter.
I agree with
Libby. Expound.
I mean, I don't think it should be. I don't think the pressure should be placed on one specific gender.
True.
I feel like if you want to make the first move, then go ahead. It's really not that big of a deal.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, especially in this day and age.
And like, mm-hmm. There shouldn't be a stigma if a girl makes the first move.
Yeah, yes. It's like, what's wrong if the girl wants to make the first move? And like, what's wrong with the guy not making the first move?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. How about you, Kev, as the only boy of
yeah.
all?
if anything, it's flattering. Like, because if you're expected to always do it and somebody else does it to you, it's very flattering because you're like, oh, yeah, you know, that's nice. And, you know, it's a confidence booster. But it's not like as a boy I wouldn't do it if I wanted to, because it, as much as a stereotype it is, it's still something you can do if you want to.
Adding on to, like, you know, when a guy always makes the first move and it's just feeding like the stereotype, and then when he actually does it, you know, it's kind of like, are you sure you really did it, or is it just because, you know, the guy is always supposed to make the first move, you know? Like, sometimes we kind of forget that people will just do what they want to do. And, like, sometimes they feel like they have to do something just because of that, like, certain stigma or that certain stereotype. Like, with guys, for example, there's so much, like, unnecessary pressure put on them that, you know, oh, I have to be the one to make the first move. And then, like, sometimes also the girl would be like, oh, I have to wait for him to make the first move.
I don't
so that
do it.
Just result, yeah, right? Like, it's like, oh, I don't want to do it because then that's going to be weird, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, again, that stigma around girls making the first move. But then if you think about it, it's kind of like lose-lose on both ends, because, like, the guy's never probably... If the guy is, like, too nervous to say anything and, like, he's so overwhelmed by the pressure of having to make the first move, mm-hmm. he'll probably not do it because he's, like,
Yeah, it's like a game of chicken.
And then... Yeah, and then the girl, on the other hand, is, like, so dumbfounded. Like, you know, she doesn't know that the guy doesn't want to say something first.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just going to be waiting this entire time. So it's, like, it's really a matter to me of, like, if it's the right time to do it.
Yeah, you know? And that's probably why love is so complicated anyway.
Yeah. Like, life in itself is already complicated. Love just made it even more complicated. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, like, regarding what Reese said, I think that's why some people, like, miss their chance with the people they like. Because the both of them don't want to say anything, so, what? Mm. Okay.
Yeah, and then, like, imagine, like, you know, you meet up again, and then you start talking about that funny story that you had a crush on you, and then, like...
Yeah, and it's like, oh, I like you too.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Oh, no!
Oh, gosh.
And then the other person's already about to get married. Oh!
Oh!
We're writing a fanfic here.
Oh my god.
That's a fanfic. Oh my.
Oh god.
But in terms of starting it, what do you guys think? Like, should they text or call or say it in person? Especially now.
Okay, for me personally, like, it just depends on, like, the the dynamic of your relationship with that person. Right? Like, It would be so weird that, like, you know, you usually like talk with that person all the time, like in person, or like you always go out with that person and meet up and stuff like that, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, you just start transitioning abruptly to like just texting, you know, and then that's how the other person like starts it off, like, you know, they just text it to you rather than, like, you know, meet up and like tell you personally. So it's like it really depends, good, like how you guys interact, you know. Because I feel like, you know, just changing pace all of a sudden without, like, any notice also. Like, once you start having feelings for this person, it's like, oh, shoot, I don't know how to act with this person anymore. And then you start, like, changing everything about yourself so abruptly. Mm-hmm. That, like, takes the person off guard. And, like, you know, it's kind of like, whoa, okay, what happened? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and if they you back and you so suddenly change because of how you felt, then it gets confusing for both of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just, like, this whole spiral down of just, like, you know, figuring out what the heck is happening, you know? So, yeah.
But if they understand to keep going how you're both comfortable, I feel like that's one of the reasons why these types of confessions, especially if you're close, can feel so emotional, because it's something so personal to you that you would both understand.
What about you, Danny and Libby?
I interpreted this question in a different way. So I think I just want to throw back a question, because I agree with both of you completely, but I interpreted it differently, and I thought about, like, friends before a relationship, or do you just want to jump straight into it? What are your thoughts on that?
No, I actually interpreted it the same way as Libby. I thought, like, I want to be friends first. Yeah. And I think when you start off as friends, it has something, it makes it more special, because you get to know each other first, you get to know your quirks, you get to know the little things about each other, and that's when you can say that you're truly, like, smitten or, like, in love with this person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As cliche as it sounds, the SO should also be your best friend. I feel like that does really help, because they know you. And they'll be there for you, and they understand. And you already started off with a good foundation. And you know that with each other, it works. Because if you can't even be best friends, how much more significant others?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Very true.
And there's already that established level of trust, which is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a lot easier also, in my opinion, like, transitioning from, like, if you think about it, transitioning from friends to, like, you know, being in a relationship and, like, you know, having labels, quote unquote, like proper labels, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, Danny, why are you laughing? It's like, you know, you already started off as friends, and, like, basically the only thing that's changing is, you know, that this, your best friend is just, you know, becoming your significant other. And, like, it's not like when you get into the relationship, that's when you start learning about the person. It's like you've already gone through that whole phase of, like, learning and, like, understanding this person. So now, like, when you get into a relationship from being just friends, like, you can fully enjoy, like, your company with that person, you know, rather than, like, having to worry about, like, oh, I don't understand this about this person, or, like, I want to know more about this aspect, you know what I mean?
There's the added benefit of getting to look back on your relationship and see how much it grew.
Yeah. And, like, maybe you've already liked each other for a long time, and then you both didn't know, and, like, maybe there were some gestures that were actually, like, more than just friends, you know? And when you look back at it, it's like, oh, I didn't realize it was actually a romantic gesture, and that's kind of cute.
Well, we're all students here, and I'm sure we've all had crushes before. How do you deal with that and your parents and balancing school?
I can't say anything because I've never had one. But a you crush? Guys, maybe, you know. Oh, a crush! Oh my god!
No, Danny, we're including crush.
I heard it wrong. Wait, what did Kevin say?
I said crush.
Oh, okay, oh my gosh. I heard it wrong. For me, I think it's I tell my I tell my mom like who I like, and then she would just like, oh, I think it's nice that you like someone because it sort of serves as your inspiration. Just make sure you know your limits and you know your boundaries, like, because I'm not allowed to, like, go beyond that, as of the moment, and probably until I graduate. So especially, you know, as traditional Filipino families, Asian families, we have our priorities set straight on our careers, and not all of us are, like, free to be in sort in relationships. I think balancing it with school, I think when, like, we had face-to-face, it was something that I looked forward to every day, because, like, you would see that person. Like, I remember we had flag ceremony, and then I liked someone, and then I would only see that person every flag ceremony, because he was a year older, yeah. And then it would be like, okay, it would be such a giddy time, but then it wouldn't go beyond that, because, you know, I don't have the courage to say anything, and also I knew, like, what my priorities were, so I think it's really about setting your priorities straight, mm-hmm. and learning where your limits are. How about you guys?
Yeah, I agree with you, Danny. Like, being able to balance is, you know, being able to, like, identify your priorities and, you know, strike a balance between, you know, the things that you prioritize and the things that, you know, that you could, I guess, indulge in a sense. Like, like what Danny said again, our careers, coming from, you know, Asian families, not bashing anyone here, but, you know, it's always been kind of set for us, you know? It's like an expectation of us now that, you know, you really have to, like, set your priorities straight, and, like, there's no time really to figure things out, because as you're going through life, you're already, like, supposedly working towards that priority, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, like, love is just, you know, it's just a nice thing, you know? It's nice to have, and... Stop laughing, Danny!
I didn't love.
Sorry, that was me.
It's a nice support system, I think.
Yeah, it's in a way also kind of motivating also, especially, like, you know, if your crush is in school, like what Danny said also, right? It's something to look forward to and stuff. But then again, you have to remember also, you have to ground yourself. Like, although your head may be up in cloud nine, you still gotta ground yourself and focus, right?
That's true.
Mm-hmm. But you can also use the inspiration in a positive way, like, oh, I gotta answer all the questions and get it right so that she'll see I'm smart.
Wow! Or you could be rivals, you know?
Oh, enemies to lovers.
We're writing another fanfic.
Oh, my favorite trope.
Best trope.
My favorite.
How about Libby and Kelly?
How about you, Lib?
Yeah. In terms of... Parents was a topic, right?
Yeah.
I never tell my parents anything, so I hope my parents aren't hearing. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. So sorry. But I don't tell them about that stuff. It's just not a very comfortable topic, I guess, even though it's basically normal. But in terms of balancing school and romance, I agree with both Danny and Reese. It's just drawing a line and understanding your priorities. Like, if a guy hurts me, I'm not letting that hurt my grades. Mm-hmm. Like, easier
love
said
that.
Than done.
I love
easier
that.
Said than done. But you just have to know what things to let go of, and from that pain, what to carry on as a learning.
Ooh, that's so
true. Oh, that is amazing. Well said. Couldn't have said that.
Especially if you're in the IB. Don't let it ruin your grades.
Oh, gosh.
Do not.
There's no playing around in the IB.
IB is your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Is your girlfriend.
Jealous girlfriend and boyfriend, too.
The jealous mistress.
Yeah, I want all your time.
An aggressive one.
What about you, Kev? Haven't heard from you yet.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of the same way with Libby, in the sense that me and my parents don't really talk about this stuff. Mm-hmm. If it's something big, they'll eventually find out, because, like, you can't hide that.
Yeah.
And then they kind of just give an approval or not. So, yeah, it's very traditional. And in a way, it kind of makes it harder, because you can't openly talk about it with them.
Yeah, like, personally, also same here. Like, I don't really talk to my parents that much about things. Like, yeah, sure, I'll tell them about, like, you know, oh, I like this person. Okay, cool, good to know. But then, yeah, I think it's also because, like, you know, the expectations that they have or, like, that they set for us is what's kind of, you know, blocking us from being more open. You know what I mean? Because yeah. Then that kind of, like, that kind of makes us nervous, like, oh, this is not what they expected of me. What are they going to think of me now that I've kind of steered away a bit? Like, just a tiny detour from what they want me to become, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's kind of been hard, you know, especially since, like, you know, you kind of wish also that you were more open with them. But then there's, like, no, there's, like, but how, you know? Like, but yeah. But, I mean, they find out eventually.
You can't keep secrets from your parents forever.
Like, you can for, like, a certain amount of time until they find out.
Yeah, oh, they're bound to find out.
They know us too well.
They know everything.
I mean, they live with us basically 24/7, 365 days of the year. Of course, they gotta know something, right?
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about romance and love in the media? Like, how it's portrayed? This kind of relates to parents because they would see TV shows and stuff about high schoolers, and then they would kind of expect that of us.
Mm. Oh gosh, it's just too much pressure. I mean, like, even when you're a kid and you watch, let's say, different rom-coms or chick flicks, and they showcase love in such a, I don't know, idealistic way that it's just difficult to compete with that, and so it adds so much pressure to your idea of love.
Yeah,
it's yeah, and like the standards just go sky high, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
I agree with what Libby said. I think what the media lacks is, like, the portrayal of toxic relationships or relationships that aren't exactly, like, idealistic or
red
very
flags,
like, rainbows and sunshines.
Yeah.
And, like, that's why recently, you know, the K-drama Nevertheless, I think it's really good.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Recommended that to me yesterday.
Oh my gosh, Danny.
I think it's really good because it portrays a toxic relationship that isn't often talked about in the media, and because I don't know, for some reason they're probably afraid that it might not do well because it's not a happy ending or it's not, like, a happy story to tell. But I think it just shows how, you know, reality is full of ups and downs, and it can't always be happy for a relationship, especially if it's, like, a romantic relationship, because come on, like, nobody's perfect. No relationship is perfect. And at some point, they have some conflict or misunderstanding. And I think that the media should show that. Because we get most of our information from the media.
Yeah, and, like, I feel like also with regards to what Danny just said about, you know, lack of representation of different kinds of relationships in the media, that's kind of also, like, shaped how people approach relationships. Like, that's why you know, what's this, you have such high standards, like, people would have such high standards because and they would see, like, such a picturesque couple on a movie and be like, I want that, and so that's the only way they would see how a relationship should be, right? Like, just how it was portrayed in the movies or, like, whatever TV show they were watching. And so that kind of in a sense, like, doesn't really help in terms of, like, you know, making us understand what a relationship should truly be. Like, although there may not be, like, a concrete example of, you know, a proper quote-unquote relationship, at least, you know, it should be known that there are different kinds of relationships and not just, you know, not just the one where the guy and girl are basically perfect for each other, you know what I mean?
I agree,
like,
with
it's
that.
It's stressful, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's stressful also because it's like, you know, people only think certain things should happen in a relationship, and then, like, other ideas are just dismissed completely. Like, oh, you have one fight? Okay, you should just break up at that point, you know?
Oh, gosh.
But then, like, right? It's like even in movies, I noticed, like, they would have, the main characters would have, like, such petty fights. And I'd be like, that's so petty. And then they just instantly cut the ties, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so this is what people think happens in relationships, you know? It's kind of sad and stressful also, because then that's what other people would think.
Not only in just movies and TV shows, but I feel like also in social media. Like with TikTok or Instagram, what we see may be just one post, and that's a highlight, or like a short clip, highlight of their relationship. So that's what we expect their whole relationship is. But, you know, we may not see an hour later they're bored out of their minds. We just see the best part there is. But, you know, there's always going to be the ups and downs.
But I think in, like, the context that Kevin mentioned, I think it's more on the people's perception. I don't think it has something to do with, like, just people posting in general, but more on how people perceive it. Because maybe they were just, like, celebrating something, and people, like, and then people immediately come to the conclusion, oh, that there might be, they might be like this every day, like, every single moment of their lives, they might be happy, which isn't the case, because social media is kind of fake, because we only show what we want them to see. And that's why most people shouldn't take relationship advice or relationship, what do you say, goals? Relationship goals from, like, Instagram or TikTok, because that's not real, fam.
Yeah. Because, like, it will be different also for, like, every relationship. It's not like you're always going to be, you know, happy-go-lucky and stuff. Like, you go through different things with that significant person of yours, right? And, like I said earlier, like, the dynamic will be completely different from everyone else's, or, like, from other relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's all a matter of personal touch, you know?
Okay, let's move on to a slightly sadder part of love.
Oh, no.
Unrequited love. How do we handle it? How do you guys handle rejection?
Listen to sad songs.
Feed the sadness to overcome the sadness.
Mm-hmm. Car rides, staring outside when it's raining.
Retail therapy, I mean.
Okay, retail therapy is, like, best way to overcome that, sorry.
Well, I was gonna say that, you know, I think pain demands to be felt, so if you get rejected, of course it's gonna be painful, and you have to feel that pain. Like, you know, like, what do you call that? Show it somewhere, express your pain. Like, you can do it through listening to songs, maybe writing or journaling, or maybe talking with a friend. Like, depends on each person and how they would handle, like, feeling the pain, quote unquote. But then I feel like, for me at least, I like listening to sad songs. I don't know. Like, although I don't like anyone or whatever, and right now I just do it on a daily basis for some reason. I've kind of like grown accustomed to listening to it, so I think it's like sort of a comfort. I'm not going through that right now because I don't like anyone, but then, like, it's not necessarily like somebody you like. Maybe it's somebody you just admire, like maybe like a celebrity or something like that, let's say. And of course, it will forever be an unrequited love, because come on, what are the chances, you know? But I think really expressing your pain in some way, shape, or form, like, depending on you, would make it easier to handle. Because if you just keep it in yourself, then it would grow into something that you wouldn't want to be, and it could eventually shape you into something you don't see yourself becoming, something like that.
I think any form of rejection I handle in the same way. I just, like, allow myself to feel it, because that's so important. I don't want to hold it back. Just allow myself to feel it, express it in some sort of way, then let it go, as I don't know how else to approach it. But so you guys go first, because I want to say something about this.
Okay. How I personally handle it is just, like what Libby and Danny said, like, it's really something that you can't, you know, keep to yourself, you know, and, like, prohibit yourself from feeling, because, you know, it's just natural. Like, when faced with something like a problem or something bad, like rejection, you're bound to feel some sort of pain, right? It's not some, maybe sometimes it's not gonna be like super sad, super bad, where like you're crying almost every day and stuff, but like, you know, just even feeling just a little bit hurt, like feeling your self-esteem go down a bit, yeah. you shouldn't stop yourself from feeling bad, you know, because like, you know, you deserve some slack, you know, for putting in all that effort, you know, admiring from afar.
Whoa, Reese.
Oh, no.
I'm joking. No. Okay, wait. No, I'm not joking when I say that you really should just allow yourself to feel every single feeling you have. Because if you're just keeping it to yourself, then you're just allowing that feeling to just grow within you, thus making it a lot worse for you.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, it's like, it's almost like harming yourself, basically. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right? On the inside.
Yeah, it's like, it's not anyone's fault, you know, if it gets any worse, because it's your fault for not letting yourself feel it. Mm-hmm. And letting it go right away.
Yeah, I agree with that. You should own your feelings, because they're going to be there either way.
Mm-hmm.
And you might as well get through it, because otherwise that's going to start affecting your school or your work, basically your life.
Yeah, it's just going to affect you in every single way.
Okay. I just wanted to add something to, you know, how handling breakups is portrayed in the media again, or maybe it's just the content I consume, but there's this stigma around, especially for women, when they, after a breakup, they kind of handle it by, you know, the typical girl in her bedroom with like a blanket on her head and
ice cream.
She's eating ice cream. Yeah, that
ice cream.
It shows,
oh my gosh.
It pans out to the guy who's kind of hooking up with other girls, and I hate how they portray that, because even a breakup, something as painful as a breakup, has a stigma around it, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you, Lib. Like, it's shocking, really, that, like, there's even a certain way breakup should be.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That it's been portrayed in so many, like, forms of media. Like, even sometimes you'll see, like, comics where, like, they portray, like, the guy would break up with the girl, and then, like, the girl's all sad and depressed while the guy's, like, you know, having the time of his life, you know? And then, a lot of the times, even I noticed, like, if they make the girl, like, the main character that's a girl, break up with the guy, you know, it's like, oh, the girl is being such a bee and whatever, like,
mm-hmm.
oh, she shouldn't have dumped that guy, like, oh, it was so sad, he was so nice to her and stuff. But then, like, I think that, you know, breakups are, you know, personal, like, you would have your own reasons, right,
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
want to go your own separate ways. And I just feel very annoyed by the fact that, you know, society has managed to, you know, even make, like, an ideal representation of something that should be handled by the persons themselves.
Yeah, I agree.
You know.
I feel like it's, at this point, it's almost expected to be dramatic, because that's what a lot of these movies and shows use it for drama.
Yeah.
But, you know, as Reese says, it's very personal and situational, so it doesn't always have to
mm-hmm.
be the case.
Yeah, I agree with, like, what Reese, Libby, and Kev said, because sometimes, again, it again shows, like, a different stereotype, which is, like, toxic masculinity that only girls are allowed to cry and be ugly in the rooms.
Yes.
But, you know, some guys actually cry after a breakup, especially if it's somebody who they really
totally
treasure.
Yeah, that's totally okay, and that's valid.
Yeah, and your feelings are valid. And no matter your gender, your sexual orientation, your feelings are valid. You deserve to cry.
100%.
You deserve to feel the pain.
Mm.
And the fact that media, like, propagates that type of message just makes it worse for those people who are trying to be better versions of themselves, because they feel like, oh, I can't be myself because I'm dramatic. I'd be seen as emotional. And that's really toxic, especially for growing children or like teenagers like us.
Mm-hmm. But actually, adding on to what Danny just said about, you know, how that's kind of fed our idea of, like, you know, how, you know, girls are the only ones who can cry. like, it's so sad also, like, to think that society has also made us believe that only certain people are allowed to express their feelings, mm-hmm. while the others have like, no choice but to be strong about it and have to hide it. Like, no matter how bad it is for them, probably they're, like, not allowed to cry, quote-unquote, you know?
Yeah, and it also has something to do with, like, us women as people who are seen to be very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. But then,
yeah.
And, like, mm-hmm. in all honesty, I don't think women are the most vulnerable people, because we've grown accustomed to all of the BS that has been thrown to us, that mm-hmm. at this point we already know what we're expected to be. We already know what the society, patriarchal society, wants us to be, and a lot of us are fighting against that. And I don't think they see that, and I don't think that the media wants us to, like, develop to be, like, stronger women, or, like, emotionally stronger women. I don't think they want us to be like that, because they still portray women as dramatic and a homebody, and I don't like that so much.
And, like, sensitive. Really,
yeah.
Like, overly sensitive.
It's just this, I think, the gender stereotypes also that makes it worse for a relationship, especially if they broke up or if they ended things.
Yeah.
Gender roles.
Gender roles, such a huge part.
Well, we should, besides actually in relationships, we should talk about the fact that as people, we don't actually have to be in a relationship. That's also another stereotype that, you know, you eventually grow old with someone else. But mm-mm. if you're happy by yourself, then that's okay, because you're happy. So you don't have to feel pressured about all your friends are dating and mm-hmm. you don't have anyone. But if you're content, then you should be fine.
Oh, I was just gonna say that I agree that we should, it's okay also to be single and stuff, but you, as a single person, you also shouldn't say anything against those people who are actually in happy relationships.
Yes.
You know, it's like mutual respect.
Just do your thing.
Like, yeah, your own thing. You do you, fam.
You do you.
I was gonna say also about, like, you know how sometimes they'll tell you, like, oh, it's okay that you're single now, but then, like, eventually the person will come, you know, like that person will come. Sometimes, you know, you just want to be alone for the rest of your life. Like, you're more than happy. You're more than happy with the relationship you have with yourself, and mm-hmm. that's fine. And you, honestly, like, it shouldn't, the fact that people are telling you that eventually something will come, or, like, that someone will come into your life, you know, you shouldn't also be, like, waiting for the rest of your life, because then that's just gonna, like, limit you to, like, you know, just waiting, basically. Like, you're just being, you're just hanging on by a thread, just waiting for that person to come, when, like, you know, what if that person never will come, and you know, you're left with yourself, you know. So honestly, I think although it would be nice, for example, if you do want to get into a relationship, then I'm sure you wouldn't mind waiting. Mm-hmm. But then, like, if you feel like you're waiting a bit too long to the point where, like, you know, you've kind of you've kind of, like, reached a dead end, but you're still trying to figure a way, like, out, you know, I feel like you shouldn't waste your time trying to wait, and, like, you know, just enjoy your life. Like, mm-hmm. you only live one, unless, you know, I guess if you believe in reincarnation. But, you know, still, you're kind of stuck. You're stuck with yourself, basically, for all the years that you'll ever live. Mm-hmm. So why not just enjoy it, you know? Mm-hmm. And don't make people think that you have to wait.
Last topic. I feel like this is in a lot of quotes. What do you guys think about the, do I like them, or do I like that they like me?
Okay, I think I have something. Like, to be fair, though, like, it's, the saying really is true, that love really does blind you. Like, you can be so infatuated with a person that, to the point where, like, you kind of ignore all sorts of comments about mm-hmm. yourself, or, like, that other person, you know. You're, like, so focused on, like, I guess the idea of that person, right? So, like, with that being said, you kind of don't realize if you really do like that person, or if you like just like the idea of that person, because again, you know, you're basically blinded by, you know, your feelings for that person. And you know, it's only when like you actually ask yourself, like, okay, let's sit myself down and ask really the question, do I really like that person? But then sometimes people just don't go through that thought process, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just like, oh, I have feelings, I like them, period, that's it, yeah. End of story, you know what I mean? So, like, for me personally, I think it's more on the part of the person for not thinking about that, if, you know, that was the problem, that they only liked the idea of the person. Mm-hmm. But then to those who actually, like, take the time to, like, think about it, really, if they really do, if their feelings are really true, then that's, like, kudos to them, you know?
For something so important, you should take the time.
Mm. Yeah. But then, you know, sometimes people will just, you know, just go for it, you know what I mean? Like, waste no time. Especially if, you know, they were pressured. Yeah. Like what we were talking about earlier. Then that was probably a factor. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Kev, though. Like, I'm a firm believer of, you know, really taking your time. And, like, you shouldn't rush anything, especially with something like this. Like, something with, mm-hmm. you know, handling your feelings and, you know, your heart, essentially. Like, that's such a fragile thing. Like, why would you want to just throw that out there into the world without even thinking about it?
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I do. If I'm in the situation, I do find myself asking myself this question. Because it's not like I just want a relationship. I want to make sure it's genuine. Because like you said, you're playing with your heart. And you're actually playing with two hearts. But
mm-hmm.
it's not like I want the relationship just for the relationship. I want to make sure that it's real and confirm it with myself before I confirm it with the other person.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
That's okay, true. Danny, go.
Well, I was just going to say that it's not a personal experience, but it's like somebody I know very well. So what happened was they actually sort of admired each other, but then the other person like they actually genuinely liked the person because mm-hmm. they started hanging out more, and then so they started flirting, whatever, but then like later on in the relationship the other person found out that they only liked them because the other person showed like reciprocation. And I can't imagine how bad it must have felt for the other person, because like,
yeah,
I feel like they were objectified, and that's why you should really think before you make a choice, because
definitely
as what like Kevin said, you're not only playing with one heart but with two hearts. So even though you don't feel anything, or even though you feel a little less heartbroken, you should think about the other person whose heart you essentially broke into a lot of pieces, because that's a lot of damage, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think you can get over it like in a short amount of time, because it involves something that you gave effort to, something that you invested in. And mm-hmm. playing with things like that, especially at such a young age, would make you, I think, cautious or overly cautious in the future, and maybe because of that some things might change and some things might not go the way that they're intended to be because of that. So that's why you should really think. But then that's not to say that you can't fall in love like at not the same time. For example, like arranged marriages, a lot of people still go through that, and I'm sure that a lot of them aren't in love at the beginning, but they learn to love, and that's the different thing about that. As long as you don't know it's not end game yet, don't do anything rash, and like mm-hmm. figure mm-hmm. yourself out first, because you don't want to hurt yourself and you don't want to hurt other people.
Okay. I agree with all three of you. I just want to add on to what Danny said, like about hurting the other person. So like I think this goes back to being pressured into getting a relationship. Like, the fact that someone likes me with to a certain extent, no one else is going to like me the way that this person does. And that sort of changes the way that you see the other person. And so I think it's just so important to separate yourself from that pressure. And that's so much easier said than done. But, like, it's just important, like all of you mentioned, not to hurt the other person. But it's important to get to know them, and not just for the reason of seeing, for seeing that they're the potential partner, but also just to get to know them, you know? There shouldn't be some added pressure on that.
There shouldn't be, like, the stigma, oh, maybe we could end up together, or maybe this could be my potential partner. You should just, like, ask friends, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with friends. Friends are awesome.
And, like, also, adding on to what everyone has said, like, sometimes when you're pressured and, like, when you know that, oh, this person likes me, kind of, in a way, they you would take, like, advantage of that fact that that other person likes you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you might not have had feelings for that person at first, but then once you found out that they had feelings for you, then it's like, oh, maybe I could develop feelings for this person. Like, it's an opportunity almost.
Oh, gosh. Right?
Like, it's just so sad. Like, they just take advantage of the opportunity that's been presented to them, which was, you know, having someone actually have feelings for them, you know.
Yeah.
And then that's where it can all go downhill, especially, like, if you don't put the effort to at least get to know that person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the heck you're doing with your energy, man.
It's like liking them, knowing you won't get rejected.
That they like you.
Yeah, like what they're serving you, but what are you serving them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I was just gonna say, like, it's just an assured win for you. That's why you took it, right?
That's true. That's why when you find out somebody likes you, you have to be clear about what you think about them, or if you want to go further than that, or if you don't want to go further than that. Like, be clear, set a line, set a boundary, so that they won't keep hoping that one day, oh, they might fall in love with me if I do something. Just, like, you know, be clear, be transparent about how you feel and what you think about them as a person, or if, don't give them a chance to hope or, like, to asa, because nobody likes a paasa, come on.
Oh, yeah. Nobody likes a
pasta. Nuh-uh. Okay, wait. I actually have a question. Like, on the topic of, you know, like, when someone's like, oh, they have a crush on me. Okay, maybe I could have a crush on them. And, like, I want to know, like, what are your guys' opinions on, like, playing along and then seeing if you fall or not?
Ooh.
Like, do you get what I mean? Because you know that they have feelings for you, but then you don't, you decide, okay, I'll play along with it and see if I eventually develop feelings or not.
I mean, that's still playing.
Yeah.
You're still gonna end up hurting someone.
You shouldn't go in yet, at least.
Yeah.
Unless you're sure.
Yeah, but then, like, would you say if they did eventually fall for the person after, like, you know, playing along, quote unquote. Would you consider that, like, genuine feelings, or?
I would consider that genuine feelings, but how you got there is kind of iffy.
I agree.
Yeah, it would be something you'd have to talk about in the future with them.
I think it's not good to play along. I think you should say upfront that, okay, like, as of the moment, I don't like you, but. Maybe if you, I think that's where the courting stage or the talking stage begins. I'm not sure, but I think that's where it begins. And, like, you know, where you start to see, maybe you can just say that maybe we can be friends, like, as of the moment. So you can get to know each other and see if you're actually, like, sort of compatible. But I don't think you should play along, because that really ends up badly, and it's very messy when that happens. Like, when they find out that, oh, you were just playing along, so what you felt, what happened to us the past few months, it wasn't real, and essentially you just made them asa, which is not ideal. That's why, just be upfront with it. Don't just play along, don't go along, don't go with the flow. Because it involves something serious, which shouldn't be taken lightly. Mm-mm.
That was all the questions we had for today. And at the end, it's something so personal for you that the things we talked about may not all apply to your situation. And we trust that you're smart enough to know what's best for you. So, good luck.
Hey there! Thank you for joining us in this week's episode of Overthinking with DLRK. Next week, we will be answering questions and prompts from our followers on our Instagram at moonymoony_org. So, if you have anything you want to ask us and want to be a part of our next episode, be sure to stop by and send us a message or answer the poll we'll have up on our story. See you there!